You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Welcome to your Canadiens Connection on Rocket Sports Radio. This premier hockey podcast featured at CanadiansConnection.fm brings you the latest news, in-depth analysis, and expert commentary about the NHL's most storied franchise, the Montreal Canadiens. Hosted by Rick Stevens and Amy Johnson. Our team of credentialed journalists provides behind-the-scenes insight on the Canadiens, designed to inform, entertain, and engage Habs fans around the globe. We are proud to be the trusted source for all things Habs for more than a decade. This is the Canadiens Connection Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Canadiens Connection podcast right here on Rocket Sports Radio, keeping you informed, engaged, and entertained. And we hope you are ready to talk about the Montreal Canadiens, because that's what we're here to do each and every week. My name is Amy Johnson. I'm your host for today's show. That's episode 380 of the Canadiens Connection podcast. This week's episode titled Pulse Check. Three holiday headlines hint at Habs fans' mood. Say that five times real fast, Rick Stevens, my wonderful co-host, who is our founder and president of Rocket Sports. Little tongue twister action there.
Well, that's why we have the voice actor here, bringing in a professional voice actor just for headlines like that.
Really? So yeah. I can go now?
No, we need you for the whole show.
Oh, I see. Okay.
There might be other things, tongue twisters in here. You never know.
Good holiday.
Yeah, very good Christmas. Very good holiday. Habs fans seem in very positive spirits after the week they had. So, everything. And
Boxing Day, World Juniors started. It's great.
Best time of the year, as they say.
Best time of the year. And now... now the countdown is on for the end of the calendar year. 2026 is almost upon us. Mm-hmm. But before we get there, we've got a big show for you today. Let's get you set for what to expect on today's show. In our first segment, that's where we're going to review the week that was. Even though you might think it was a quiet week, there's lots to go over from this past week. We're going to briefly recap the three games that the Canadiens did play prior to the Christmas break. Rick's got some new three stars of the week to hand out that he has selected. We're also going to get you up to date on some roster news. That's injuries, transactions, or signings. There's actually all of the above, actually. Injuries, transactions, and signings for us to talk about today. Get you all set for the latest with what's going on with the roster. For the Habs prospect report this week, we are mostly, because of the Christmas break and, as we said, Boxing Day kicked off the World Juniors, we're going to focus on the prospects a little bit who are playing and representing their countries at the the 2026 World Junior Championship Tournament. There are a number of prospects of the Montreal Canadiens there. So we'll get you caught up with that and bring you some news from the Laval Rocket and the ECHL's Trois-Rivières Lions as well. Then that brings us really to our second segment, which is our big topic this week. Three holiday headlines reveal the mood of Habs fans. And so, yeah, even though, you know, game action was quiet this week, there isn't even a Saturday night game this week, which is really odd. The Canadiens don't play until Sunday, even though the rest of the NHL does get back into action today.
You can put the action, you put another game on Hockey Night in Canada, and in your earbuds, you got the Canadiens Connection podcast
going. That's right.
Yeah.
So you still get, you know, your dose of the Canadiens just in your ears instead. And so even though game action was light this week, that didn't mean that the Canadians were out of the headlines. Quite the opposite, in fact. And so the holiday break gives us a chance to kind of switch the focus from headlines that the Habs are creating to headlines that fans are reacting to. And we're actually going to discuss three different headlines from this past week that Canadians fans were chattering, debating, or talking about the most, and kind of pick them apart a little bit and examine why they were such headline-grabbing topics for members of the Canadians. And then finally, in our third segment, we let you have your say. We've got some great responses to last week's Canadians Connection Question of the Week that we want to bring to you. And as well, we'll be dishing out a new question for you to answer this week. And if you're new around here and you're not sure what that means, well, this is an interactive show. We love to hear from our listeners and our viewers. And so you're always welcome to send in your questions, your comments, your opinions about the Habs, your opinions about something you hear on the show. All of that is welcome. But at the very least, each and every week, we put out a fan question for all of you. The Canadians Connection Question of the Week. And we invite you to answer that question. We want to hear your thoughts. We're picking your brain about a topic related to something we've talked about on the show each week. And then the best responses that we get from all of you, we read them on the next week's show for other fans to hear. So the best way to be in touch with us, the Rocket Sports text line is always open. You can text us at 5853-ROCKET. Again, that's 5853-ROCKET. You can leave us a comment on our YouTube channel. You'll find that over at InsideTheCanadians.com. You can also leave us a comment on Spotify if that's how you listen to the podcast. Or hit us up on good old social media at Habs Connection on X, Facebook, or Instagram. And so we would love to hear from you. And we think that you're going to have lots to say about this week's show. So let's kick things off with a brief recap of the games that took place before the Christmas break, starting with the home game last Saturday night, Montreal playing Pittsburgh again. And this was Jacob Fowler's first home Saturday night start.
And that was obviously a big storyline going into this game. Mm-hmm. As it turned out, there were several storylines. First, just a curiosity kind of thing. Interesting stat in that the Canadians, they scored four times. Pittsburgh, none. But the Canadians got a power play goal. They got an even strength goal. They got a shorthanded goal, and they got an empty net goal.
All right.
One of each, please. And of course, the big story is that Jacob Fowler got his first NHL career shutout, was first star, and was dynamite in this game.
Yeah, he was.
Facing 31. Penguin shots. That was his second start in his early career. That was already his second start against the Penguins and Sidney Crosby, and he was absolutely terrific. The even strength goal came courtesy of Owen Beck.
Finally,
and it was a beauty too, as he raced up the wing, and great shot. Mm-hmm. And yes, he's had a few almost goals, but it almost made up for the fact that this one was spectacular. And he's been playing really, really well. But this was all about Jacob Fowler, and he became the third youngest goalie in Canadiens history to record a shutout behind Patrick Waugh and Carey Price. The quote from him was, obviously this meant a whole lot to him. Mm-hmm. And I'll let you, being the voiceover talent that you are, why don't you do the quote?
So Jacob Fowler, after the game, says, quote, "It was my first Saturday night at the Bell Center, and it did not disappoint. I've waited my whole life for this moment. I'm so thankful to be here with this group, and hopefully there are many more of these." And Jacob, I think there's going to be. I think there's going to be.
Absolutely.
But not too much time to sit and think about that big shutout victory against Pittsburgh, because the following night, last Sunday, Montreal needed to turn around and head to Pittsburgh to play another game against the Penguins, this time on the road, their third time playing the Penguins in the month of December. It's a little much, if you ask me. This one, they didn't fare. Pittsburgh found the back of the net in this one. They remembered how to do the scoring. Montreal did come out with a point in this game. They took it all the way to the shootout, but it was Pittsburgh who came up with the victory in the shootout, winning this one 4-3.
Can't blame Jakub Dobish. He had 28 saves. Can't blame the youth. Kapanen scored his 11th, if you can believe it. Demidov scored his 8th. What you can blame was the Canadiens' top line. Not just me saying that. It was Nick Suzuki that was very critical of his line. Mm-hmm. He said, quote, "I just thought my line wasn't very good. We definitely need to be better than that. I think if we were better, we would have won this game," end quote. So the Canadiens got a point out of this game. And really, this was the Penguins kind of willed this to happen for Sidney Crosby as he passed Mario Lemieux for the Penguins' points record. And so it was a big night for the Penguins, and they seemed determined to do anything to get a win for their captain, Sidney Crosby.
That's right. That led us then to Tuesday night, the final game before the Christmas break. The Canadiens still on the road, this time traveling to Massachusetts to take on the Boston Bruins on their home ice. And Fowler got the start. I like how they're alternating Dobesh and Fowler here. But it's a big deal because Fowler played in the NCAA in Boston as well. So this was a big deal for him to play get a start in TD Garden. And Montreal did not disappoint with a big fat 6-2 victory over the Bruins.
Yes, this was close for a while.
And then it wasn't.
And then it wasn't. As you said, Fowler was solid again, 26 saves. Hadn't been back to Boston, he said, for a while. But this game also meant something to him as a former Boston College Eagle, making his return to Boston. There was 3 points each from defensemen, Lane Hutson and Noah Dobson. There were stage fights again, like mm-hmm. there was in the previous time these two teams met. This game kind of turned on the fact that Bruins coach Marco Sturm made some mistakes. There was a challenge that I was expecting him to make, and he didn't. And then there was a challenge that he made that he shouldn't have made. And Bruins got a penalty, and then the Canadiens were able to cash in with a couple of power play goals from Caulfield and Suzuki. This was a comfortable victory for the Canadiens. They did a lot of the damage in the third period with 4 goals, and pretty nice to go into TD Garden and get a victory.
Absolutely. The one downside in this game is that forward Alexander Texier went out with an upper body injury, left the game, and did not return. We'll give you an update on that in just a moment. I wonder who is going to come out on top of your 3 stars for this week.
Well, it's one of those weeks, a rare week, where the Montreal Canadiens didn't have to worry about their goaltender. Their goaltenders were solid. Both Jacob Fowler and Jakub Dobish, solid. Can't complain about either of them. But my first star is going to go, of course, to Jacob Fowler. 2 starts, 2 wins. Of the 59 shots he faced in those 2 games, 57 saves, a 1.0 goals against and a 966 save percentage and the one shutout. So, yeah, goaltending solid. Jacob Fowler was great this week.
Now, your second star of the week, obviously heard that he was on the struggle bus list of yours recently and kind of kicked things into gear a little bit.
Yeah, last week, episode 379, I had Slavkovsky more so for his kind of lackadaisical defensive efforts. Mm-hmm. The previous week, this week, he comes in solidly as my second star. 5 points in three games, a plus four. Second line for the Canadians, centered by Kapanen, with Demidov and Slavkovsky, were very, very good. And Slavkovsky earned his second star this week.
And who do you have for this week's third star?
Just mentioned him, Ivan Demidov. He had 4 points in three games. The second line was driving the bus for the most part. Some struggles from that first line in the second Penguins game and the Boston game until they got on track in the third period.
And the young guys were playing so well this week that you had to throw in some honorable mentions.
For sure. Four assists from Lane Hudson, and he was his minutes were up while Matheson was out. And he becomes the 11th fastest defenseman in NHL history to reach 100 points. Did that as the fastest Canadian to ever do that. Noah Dobson got 4 points. Oliver Kapanen, one of the things that the veterans were supposed to provide was face-off help. And here it was Oliver Kapanen and Owen Beck leading the way with face-off success. Oliver Kapanen, 54% at the face-off dot. Owen Beck, 56% at the face-off dot. And of course, Owen Beck got his first NHL goal, so he gets to be on the honorable mention list as well.
So did you have anyone that you felt was struggling this week?
Yeah, it's Christmas, you know.
We're going to be nice. Yeah, we're going to be a nice yeah, because no it's cold. Christmas. Yeah, no cold this week.
No, all not right. This week.
Well, through 37 games played, that brings the Canadiens' record to 20-12-5. That's good enough for 45 points, putting them second in the Atlantic Division, seventh overall in the NHL. They still currently hold a playoff spot. And their odds of making the playoffs, according to MoneyPuck, have inched up just slightly, up to 58%.
Looking at those key metrics that I like to look at, the regulation wins, they bumped that up to 13 wins, 13th midway in the pack in the NHL. Goal differential is they've helped that stat to a minus one, and that is 15th in the NHL.
Wonderful. In terms of roster news, there is a lot to cover here. In the first period of the Penguins game that was at the Bell Center, so this would have been Saturday night's game at the Bell Center, Jake Evans suffered a lower body injury, knee-on-knee hit, didn't return the game to the game, did not travel with the team to Pittsburgh either.
No, and we'll update that when we get into the Saturday updates as well. But on Sunday, the Canadians placed Jake Evans on IR and recalled Sammy Blais from Laval. Then Blais went into the lineup on Tuesday in Boston.
Now, if you've listened to this podcast for the last month or so, you should not find it surprising whatsoever when Wednesday the Montreal Canadiens announced that they had signed young defenseman Bryce Pickford to a 3-year entry-level contract, which begins this year, runs through 2027-28. Because we have done nothing but talk about Bryce Pickford for the last month or so in the prospect report section of this segment.
We have been all over wondering if you're getting tired of hearing about Bryce Pickford. You're not. I'm sure you're not. But last year we got on the Bryce Pickford train and have been doing so again. He's been sensational, you know, we've given you all of his attributes in the past, and the fact that he's a captain, the fact that he's, I believe, fourth in WHL scoring. He's a defenseman, remind you. He's been tremendous, and the Canadians realize this as well. So signed him to his 3-year entry level contract.
That's right. His former teammate, just some guy named Gavin McKenna, says, quote, "He's lighting it up. I expected it after last year. I knew he was going to take an even bigger jump this year. He's a special player, that guy. He's just got a thing for putting the puck in the back of the net, and as a defenseman, too." Go ahead.
I was going to say,
I think his shots last year in playoffs, you know, he was huge for us. He scored some big goals, and yeah, he's a great player. And I'll let you finish the quote there.
That's the type of guy he is. If he doesn't get something, then he's going to make sure he gets in. You know, the next opportunity. He's a very hard worker off the ice. He's almost magical.
Wow.
So Gavin McKenna, and of course, you can see Gavin McKenna at the World Juniors playing with another Habs prospect, that is Michael Hage.
Mm-hmm. That is true. So congratulations to Bryce Pickford on that ELC. I do believe that he'll be spending the rest of the season, obviously, in the CHL. But we'll see. Keep an eye. I'm sure he's going to continue to do great things. After his two starts with the Laval Rocket last week, goaltender Sam Montembeau did not get returned to the Canadiens on Sunday, as they had originally indicated is what was going to happen. Instead, they extended his conditioning stint, saying that it was probably better with Montreal out on the road for Pittsburgh and Boston, it would be better for him to just stay with Laval for a couple of extra days and get some practice time in with Laval's goaltending coach, Marco Marciano.
Yeah, and a lot of things went into that decision. First, I just said the goaltenders in Montreal were playing extremely well, both Dobish and especially Jacob Fowler. On the other hand, Montembeau, who had two starts against a very weak team in the AHL, didn't necessarily. I mean, the second start was good for him, but in that he still didn't get the win, and didn't look great in his first start there. So I think all of those factors led to the fact that they extended his conditioning stint.
Absolutely. However, we should mention that earlier today, the Canadians did recall Montembeau from Laval, hence ending his conditioning assignment. So he is back with the NHL club, but we will have a question mark as to how they are now going to deploy the three goaltenders, because we do have an update from practice in Tampa today. I guess, Rick, we'll start with the fact that we know Jake Evans was put on IR last week, but the Canadians have made a further announcement about his injury and his projected absence.
Kind of a good news, bad news situation. That knee on knee hit that he suffered could have meant some pretty serious potential injury. That didn't happen, but still, he's going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with, as the Canadians are describing it, a lower body injury.
And also, as I said, Sam Montembeau is back, but they did not send a goaltender back to Laval. So Jacob Fowler, Jakub Dobish, and Montembeau were all on the ice for practice in Tampa today.
Yeah. The dreaded three-headed goalie rotation, and we'll see how long that lasts. As we're recording, we don't, of course, the Canadians, as you mentioned earlier, don't play on Saturday night. They don't play till Sunday, have not yet announced who will start. on Sunday in Tampa. If that changes as we're recording, we'll give you an update later in the show.
That's right. The one interesting thing is I mentioned from back in the game against Boston that Alexander Texier had left that game with an upper body injury and didn't return to the game. He has traveled with the team, and according to reports from their practice today, he was practicing in a regular jersey.
So he's available should Marty St. Louis want to put him into the game on Sunday night.
However, Kirby Dach did not travel with the team.
There was some speculation that the people were doing the math. They saw him on the ice in Broussard doing the math that he might join the team, but he did not. He did not make this road trip.
Okay. And no one has been sent down to Laval, so we'll just kind of have to wait to see. Laval plays this afternoon, so we'll have to wait to see how the roster and lineups are going to shake out for tomorrow's game for the Montreal Canadiens. All right. So that also means, of course, we don't know, with another two close games together, they're doing their Florida trip, the Lightning on Sunday, they'll visit the Panthers on Tuesday. We don't yet know who's going to start in goal. We don't know who's dressing. We don't know that yet. And I think that's...
All we can do is look to the Bruins game where, interesting that Beck had scored that his first goal, and as I said, has been good on the faceoffs, he's been good on the forecheck, he's been good in his own end, good speed, good physicality, but he was sat out in that game in Boston. He was the extra forward to make room for Sammy Blais. Now, whether that was just because a rugged game was expected, we'll give Marty St. Louis the benefit of the doubt there, because Beck certainly didn't deserve to sit. No. Likewise, Adam Engstrom didn't deserve to sit either. He's been great and better than many of the defensemen in the lineup. He sat in Boston again, perhaps because of the atmosphere in Boston and the physicality and that sort of thing. So we hopefully we'll see those players in Florida over the next two games.
Absolutely. All right, so that takes care of the NHL club and their updates for now. Let's now switch gears and check in on prospects of the Montreal Canadiens.
It's time for the Rocket Report. The Rocket Sports Media Team is your premier source for information about the Laval Rocket, the AHL affiliate of the Montreal Canadiens, as well as Habs prospects playing in the CHL, NCAA, and leagues around the world.
This week, the Canadiens prospect we're going to highlight is Alexander Juravsky, the 18-year-old who was just selected in the second round this past summer in the 2025 draft by the Montreal Canadiens. And just to remind you, he's a right winger. He's playing in the KHL for Salavat Yulaev Ufa. But we've talked about him a couple of times throughout the early parts of this season already, because he's had some pretty successful weeks and months in the first half or so of the KHL season. And there's something, Rick, that you wanted to basically kind of point out about how his performance has been in the KHL and how it relates right now.
He's been great. And we've talked about comparing Demidov with Juravsky. And Juravsky at this point is a little bit ahead in terms of points as it goes, than Demidov even, which is certainly saying something. You remember Demidov's record-breaking season that he had. This week on Christmas Day, Juravsky had a goal, two assists for 3 points, was a plus two in that game, four shots on goal. And a couple of days earlier, Tuesday of this past week, he had a goal in that game as well. So overall, in 31 games, he has 28 points, has 11 goals, 17 assists, and he's a plus seven. He has been very, very good. At just 18 years old, you know, had Russia been in the World Juniors, we would have no doubt seen him there, and he would have been getting all the attention that the other Habs prospects that we're about to talk about were getting. So we wanted to highlight him as well this week.
Definitely. So yes, the 2026 World Junior Hockey Championship Tournament is underway, being held in Minnesota this year, splitting time between the arenas in Minneapolis and St. Paul, one of which, of course, is the Minnesota Wild Arena. The other is where the Minnesota Golden Gophers play. Runs from Boxing Day all the way through January 5th. And the Canadians this year are represented by five prospects playing for five different countries. And we'll start with probably one of the most dynamic of them all, and the one who's already obviously making a big splash, and that is center Michael Hage playing for Team Canada.
Michael Hage, he's having a great season, as we know, at the University of Michigan. 28 points in 20 games, plus 11. He's been terrific. Part of Team Canada at the World Juniors, and he's on the Team Canada's second line. He's centering that second line with Gavin McKenna and Brady Martin, who love Brady Martin. he's quite a character. That line was the most dominant line for Canada, mm-hmm. Against Czechia. What a wild game against Czechia. Michael Hage was one of the better Team Canada players, had a goal, two assists against Czechia. One of the NHL scouts said that Hage reminds him of Robert Thomas. That's high praise indeed. Mm-hmm. You can tell, though, as you're watching him, that he's got a lot of work to do yet before he gets to the Canadiens. He has a tendency to, we saw in the game against Czechia, blindly throw the puck around, and he created a few turnovers. He's got to improve his defensive game. He's not always when he's out there and committed and intense. he's a beast, especially going to the net, but he doesn't show that consistently. And all night was overstaying their welcome on the ice. Mm-hmm. They were extending their shifts and then got caught, being just exhausted on the ice.
And then icing the puck and forced to stay out longer. And yeah.
And listen, there was a lot of problems with Team Canada. Their defense looked very fragile against Czechia. They had a tough, tough time. And it was funny because the Montreal media were trumpeting the fact that that Team Canada was using the same defensive system as Marty St. Louis, the man to man, but it didn't look good in this and
the broadcasters were criticizing them for it.
Yeah, well, it was difficult as they get to know each other. They look like they didn't quite know where they should be, and it created odd man situations for Czechia. So hopefully they'll get that all worked out as the tournament goes on. For Canada, it was a tough opponent, given that Czechia has medaled the last 3 years, and kind of a revenge game as the players talked about it. And mm-hmm. Yeah, you pointed out about the shenanigans that went on pregame in the warm-ups. And some bad blood at the end. Porter Martone, the captain, got an unsportsmanlike penalty right at the end, which could have cost him, and he apologized for. There was no handshakes at the end, which Team Canada had apologized for. So quite a wild, entertaining game, and Michael Hage was right at the center of it all.
And we'll see them again right away on Saturday because Canada plays Latvia. We're going to talk about Latvia here in a minute, why you'll want to be tuned in for that. But next, let's take a look at Team Finland because that is where Atos Koivu is playing. And he looked in fit form in their first outing on Friday as well.
He's such an affable kind of player, and the interview that he did between periods. And by the way, to the Montreal-based reporter who's doing the interviews for the it's Hage. It's not Hag. It's Hage.
Michael Hage. No, yeah, it's not a hard G.
You should know that. Yeah. Anyway, we're talking about Atos Koivu. He was very good for Finland and had a goal against Denmark. And as I said, a great, great interview.
The U.S. has a Canadiens representative on its team. That is a little spitball of fire, L.J. Mooney, that right winger playing for the University of Minnesota. So you know he had plenty of friends in the crowd, most likely. Gave them a little bit of a scare because he went down the tunnel after blocking a shot at one point. But it will be very fun to watch L.J. Mooney during this tournament.
No points versus Germany, but I expect that to change as the tournament goes on.
On the other side of the ice in that game for the U.S. against Germany, playing for Team Germany was defenseman Carlos Handel.
Yeah, he's maybe one of the lesser known prospects, unless you're in Halifax. He's playing in the queue this year for the Halifax Mooseheads. And in that game against the U.S., Carlos Handel had one assist.
So I mentioned that Canada plays Latvia today. Why, in addition to watching Michael Hage, are you going to want to watch that game? Well, because we don't know who's starting for Latvia, but Mikus Vatsvanaks is a goaltender for Team Latvia, so he could be in the crease against Team Canada later on today.
Another Habs prospect playing in the queue. Mikus is playing for the Newfoundland Regiment, the Q team that plays in Newfoundland this season.
Definitely. So it's going to be, it's always a fun tournament to watch. It's always an intense tournament to watch. You get to see some really tremendous talent. Get yourself familiar with the guys who are draft eligible next year. Watch the guys who just got drafted this past year. And the Canadians have five prospects competing, which are great to root for. Switching to other prospects who are currently playing pro hockey over in Laval in the AHL. Rick did mention that Sam Montembeault got his second consecutive start with the Rocket last week. Actually it was a shutout for Cleveland. They won it 2-0. And so it was a rough week for Laval. Sam Montembeault, probably not the results that he was hoping to have getting sent down to the AHL for a conditioning stint.
Yeah, I mentioned Cleveland. Cleveland Monsters, 22nd in the AHL, but they won both against Sam Montembeault. Sam gave up just one goal in that second game. He looked much, much better, much more comfortable, but suffered his second loss.
So Laval is 17-10-0-1 on the season. They have 35 points, second in the North, seventh in the AHL. That's funny. The Habs are second in the Atlantic and seventh in the NHL. So they're both sitting.
Nice.
Both sitting with similar positioning in the standings in their divisions and leagues. Laval did recall goaltender Hunter Jones from Trois-Rivières on Friday. That, of course, was in anticipation of Sam Montembeault getting recalled to the Canadiens on Saturday. So, as I mentioned,
That was a big fat clue for anyone who was paying attention on Friday that Sam was coming back to Montreal.
That's right. So the Laval Rocket are actually, as we record, they are already playing their afternoon matinee on home ice against the Syracuse Crunch. They'll do that again on Sunday with another 3 o'clock game against the Syracuse Crunch. Then they travel to Belleville on New Year's Eve for a 3 o'clock in the afternoon game against Belleville. Man, that stings for scheduling because they're probably not going to get back to Laval till after midnight. So there goes Sorry about Happy New Year, guys. Hope you have a win at least to celebrate on the bus ride home. And then on Friday, January 2nd, Utica will be in town at Place Belle. So a busy week for the Laval Rocket. Not a busy week right now for the Trois Rivières Lions. Before we get to why, we will mention Hunter Jones, the goaltender that Laval just recalled from Trois Rivières, had a great week last week because he was the ECHL goaltender of the week. So that's great news for him right before his call-up. The reason I say that there's not a lot going on with Trois Rivières right now is because the ECHL is currently in the midst of a strike. That's a player strike that began yesterday, Friday at noon, noon Eastern time, because they having trouble coming to terms for a new collective bargaining agreement.
The Professional Hockey Players Association, the PHPA, released a statement saying, as a result of the league's ongoing unfair labor practices, the PHPA's ECHL membership has been forced to take this step to protect the integrity of the bargaining process. The ECHL, the league, said that they have made their last, best, and final offer to the players. They were disappointed that the union, the PHPA, did not present that package to the players for a vote. That package includes a almost 20% increase to the salary cap to be paid retroactively from the start of the season. Additional salary cap increases that would increase the salary cap 27%. They point out that they cover 100% of player costs for housing, utility, internet, medical, dental benefits, and that a per diem rate has been increased in the latest proposal by 25%. So these are big numbers that the ECHL is willing to move on. I guess the other sticking point is with respect to health and safety and the schedule and the back-to-back games that cause a problem for the players. This is ugly. The ECHL play teams are in small communities that for the most part don't have any other kind of hockey going on, any other kind of professional hockey, they are kind of the lifeblood for those hockey loving fans, and so this is going to hit them hard. You see a lot of complaints from fans. The fans, from my viewing, are coming down on the team side, on the ownership side, on the league side. They talk about the minor league system in baseball, where you know, if you go to a double A baseball game, you can take your family there, you can have refreshments and do that quite reasonably, and it's getting so that you can't do that for the ECHL, and this might put some of the teams out of business. So and really, you wonder if this could have been done in the offseason. I know that players feel that they have maximum leverage now mid-season, but this is sad the way this is all unfolding.
Yeah, we'll see how long this drags out for. There is a ripple effect here, it's going to be interesting to see whether who budges first and whether any movement can be made rather quickly, because you'd hate to see this go on for an extended period of time.
And locally, with respect to the Canadiens franchise, Trois-Rivières is the defending champs. Yeah. They would like to continue their season. You know that there was difficulty with ownership for a while. There was debts to the city. Mm-hmm. A brand new owner, U.S. owner, came in and cleared all that up, and they seem to be a well-functioning franchise now. And you'd hate to see that upset by a lengthy strike.
Definitely. One last thing before we wrap up this first segment, just some hockey notes from around the league out of the Toronto Maple Leafs organization. They fired assistant coach Mark Savard this week. He's the one that was responsible for their power play. And they promoted Steve Sullivan to replace him, who was an assistant coach with their AHL franchise, the Toronto Marlies.
Fascinating that we have a vacancy on the bench and you fill it by a promotion from your AHL affiliate. I wasn't aware that.
What a concept.
Happen. Yeah, yeah.
Other people could do that.
We've talked about that ad nauseum here, that one of the coaches could be promoted from Laval.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, we are going to take our first break here on the Canadians Connection podcast. We have a brand new message for you from our sponsors over at DraftKings. So you're going to want to check that out for the special incentive just for you, our Canadians Connection and Hockey Podcast Network listeners. And when we come back, we're going to dig into those three holiday headlines that reveal the current mood of Habs fans. I wonder if you can guess which ones they are. And I wonder if you can guess what most fans are saying about them. You're going to find out in just a minute, so stay with us. You're listening to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The holidays are heating up on Pick 6, DraftKings' newest fantasy pick'em game. Make your NBA picks for a shot to win big cash prizes this holiday season. Here's how it works. Just choose more or less on two or more player stats. The more accurate your picks, the bigger your payout. It's the kind of upside you'll only find on Pick 6, not those other pick'em sites. And it's available in most states, including Texas, California, Georgia, and more. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. New DraftKings customers can play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits with code THPN. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer.
And welcome back to the Canadians Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio. Once again, my name is Amy Johnson. If you'd like to follow me over on X, you can do so there. I certainly welcome you to do that. My handle is at Flyers Rule. While you're there, you're also going to want to be sure you're following Rick as well. His handle is at Rocket Sports. That is our main account for the podcast, for our writers, for our content on all the platforms. So you're definitely going to want to be following him at Rocket Sports. And don't forget, if you haven't done so already, tap subscribe to this podcast, subscribe to our YouTube channel, however you choose to watch or listen to the podcast. You certainly don't ever want to miss an episode. And we are happy to have you along with us each and every week. I should also mention, if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that. Our podcast handle on X, Facebook, and Instagram is at Habs Connection. So love to see you on all the different platforms. All right. Well, it's been a quiet week on the ice with the Christmas break, but it certainly hasn't been a quiet week for Canadians country. Even though there hasn't been a game since Tuesday, Habs fans really didn't stop talking. They just kind of shifted their attention to some other things. And three very different headlines ended up telling us a whole lot about the mood around this team right now. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the young guys, actually quite a few of the young guys, and we're going to talk about a veteran as well, who was making some headlines. These stories are kind of like little windows into where this fan base is emotionally as we're heading into the second half of the season, because it's been quite a ride for the first half of the season. And so today we're going to use these three holiday headlines as kind of a jumping off point, not just to talk about the players, but also talk about what these headlines are revealing about fan expectations, patience, team identity, and just kind of overall where the team and their fan base are at right now. It's kind of a good checking in point. So we're going to actually start, since it was the Christmas break, we're going to start with a Christmas tale, a Christmas headline. And that is that Lane Hutson and Ivan Demidov went for a little skate, went for a little twirl on Christmas Day at one of the Bleu Blanc Rouge community rings. This one happened to be down in the NDG.
Yeah. NDG, very familiar with. The college that I work for was in NDG, so my workplace. A real nice neighborhood. The rink there is really nice. And imagine getting brand new pair of skates for Christmas, going out on the community rink, and you run into Ivan Demidov and Lane Hutson, who are there not because they have to be. They're not there with an entourage with Chantal McAbee. They're there because they want to be. They're there because they took it upon themselves to be there. And they're all bundled up, and they're getting as much joy out of being there, as the fans, who saw them. It says a lot about, Montreal. It says a lot about, two young players, from different parts, from Montreal, either of them, but obviously are very proud, to be part of the Montreal Canadiens and part of the Montreal, community. And one of the fans had posted to social media about meeting, the two of them, quote, at the Bleu Blanc Rouge rink in NDG with no hype and a lot of heart. I have massive gratitude to Ivan Demidov and Lane Hutson for showing up the way real pros do, with humility and love for the game. And that's what it was. It really well said, really well captured. It was all about the love of hockey, the love of a shared experience, a pro and non-pro. And, they said there was two pro players, against about 15 kids or so. And, it was just, two players that are both humble, not bigger than the game. And were there to, just brighten the, well, not only brighten the spirits of the fans that were there, because this is not like it was an autograph signing or anything like that. They were just there to share the experience naturally, and I think it was I imagine it was Lane Hutson that organized this and invited his buddy Demidov. Introduction to Montreal for Demidov, it must have been. And this is a good news story. It's been talked about a lot. And that spirit of as I said, love for the game, and humility, to be able to just enjoy a game with the fans.
And honestly, even though they are both very young players, I'll also add that it gives you some insight onto the future leadership abilities that they'll be able to tap into with Lane Hutson for kind of taking Demidov, encouraging the two of them to go out. As you said, we're assuming that it was Hutson that put this together. and encouraged him to come out. It just shows great maturity on their part. It was just a really wonderful thing to see, to do that on Christmas Day.
Want to pick up on you mentioned the word maturity, and it's absolutely the right word to use for this situation. It's been bandied about that the Canadians are the youngest team and they need to be more mature. Marty St. Louis has said he wants his team to play a more mature game. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have to add 30-year-old players. It doesn't mean you have to add veterans. We see here clearly that two very young players can demonstrate maturity, mm-hmm. and they do it on and off the ice.
So that was a pretty positive headline that, I mean, Habs fans gobbled that right up. Habs fans absolutely just that completely endeared the two of them even more to fans of the Montreal Canadiens, to see that kind of unprompted community interaction. And I hope we see a lot more of that. It was a really heartwarming story to see on Christmas Day. The second big headline this week that had Habs fans all abuzz, that they kept talking about, really was Jacob Fowler, and how he has just kind of barnstormed his way into the early stages of his NHL career. His start, while it's not surprising that Jacob Fowler is a solid goaltender, it might be a little surprising to some with how successful his very brief beginnings in the NHL has been. And his arrival, along with the steadying factor of his presence for Jakub Dobish, really has improved the Canadiens' goaltending department kind of drastically. And maybe it's upended some of management and coaching's plans for the crease for the season. Jacob Fowler, you can't ignore him. There is no ignoring him, and people are talking about him an awful lot.
Now, I think he's caused me to question, my thinking about this. And a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about he had a very successful debut, and the goal at that point was to get him back to Laval without any damage being done, because the Canadiens were being blown out in some games, and we didn't want that to happen to Jacob Fowler, and wanted him to keep his confidence and all of that. He's changed my mind with his play as far as how the Canadiens should move forward. Part of that, you look back this past week, and the goaltending was absolutely solid. We weren't talking about goaltending in negative terms, and they had their foundation and they played well because of it. This team is about the future. This team is about the players who are performing. It's not put together to try to rehab somebody's failed season. And this isn't a game or two, and we're talking about Sam Montembeau. This is 4 months where he's right from training camp. He's looked dismal. And I'm not sure that a couple of starts in Laval and a couple of extra days with Marco Marciano are going to do the trick and turn his season around. And you really, Marty's got to be careful here. You really don't want to do what you did earlier in the season and upend Dobish or upend Fowler or upend the team in order to cater to Sam Montembeau. You just can't do that. Marty has said the players are going to force his hand. Their play will determine who's in the lineup, who gets ice time. And I agree with that. I agree wholeheartedly with that. Sometimes Marty forgets. Mm-hmm. There's times that he forgets. Kent Hughes, same thing. Kent Hughes has said he will not, you know, add players as short-term fixes. He won't add veterans. They're going to act as barriers for promising young players who can move up to the NHL and perform. Those two have to remember what they've said and stick by it in this situation.
Recently, though, Marty St. Louis has made some comments on Jacob Fowler's play, said, quote, he's a confident kid, plays really mature. There's that mature word again. The way he carries himself, it seems like he's been ready for this, meaning ready for the NHL, for a long time. And I would agree with that. He has looked very comfortable. He has, knock on wood, he hasn't looked rattled yet.
He's been mature. Again, that word comes up in the story. A young player acting mature. And even when he enjoyed success, he you know, you can't, if one of these things happened this week, the win in Boston in TD Garden. Canadians don't win very often in TD Garden, especially no. Recently. He goes in there and wins. He has a Saturday night shutout at the Bell Center. Both of those, magnificent success. And even after his first shutout, and even after he got the standing ovation from Montreal Canadiens fans, he said to reporters, quote, I don't deserve this. I haven't done anything here yet. Humility. He's a humble guy. And those first two stories speak to maturity and humility.
Absolutely. We remember Jacob Fowler when he got drafted. Remember, he was the kid who had all the jokes and had all of the witty quips and very, very, I don't want to say cocky, but very sure of himself in his first press conference at the draft after he had been drafted. And all of those things are good for a young player. You know, it's good for a young player to be that confident. He still has that confidence in himself. He's still very sure of himself, but you can see how he's grown over the last couple of years. And you can see how he really appreciates how big all of this is. And he understands that, you know, I appreciate that his attitude is obviously within himself, that he has to earn it. And he wants to earn it. And I think the way he's reacting to his early success in the NHL is very encouraging for his emotional development as he grows into this role. So that brings us to our third headline for the week that Habs fans could not stop talking about, and that is the arrival of Phil Deneau. Phil Deneau, of course, acquired from the LA Kings last week in exchange for a second round pick. Phil Deneau joining the team in Boston and played on Tuesday night with the Canadiens against the Boston Bruins. And had a very, I'd say, average kind of performance.
Yeah,
average at best.
Yeah, at best, his game in Boston was a little bumpy. He looked a little slow. His faceoff percentage was I think 33%, which is, you know, brought in for that. The Canadiens gave up a power play goal, but that wasn't Deneau's fault. He looked fine on the penalty kill and was deployed on the penalty kill. So a little bit up and down, but only his first game. And that's to be expected. I think for the most part, Canadiens fans were ready to welcome him back. The reaction has been a little bit mixed. You might expect, we were talking about maturity. We're talking about humility. This is a person who should know the culture in Montreal, should know what fans appreciate, should be able to, given his veteran status, act mature. And it didn't quite turn out that way. You know, Phil Deneau came in and said, yeah, everything's the same here. You know, it's like I never left. Kind of dismissing the fact that a lot has changed. And Brendan Gallagher has said that several times prior to, after Deneau was acquired, saying, you know, Phil's going to have to recognize that a lot has changed here. And he didn't seem to key in on that. And I think the quote that really, it caught people a bit of the wrong way. Phil Deneau was talking about his season so far in LA. Of course, we know 5 points total in 30 games. And Phil said,
all assists,
that's correct, no goals. Quote, I felt like I had no purpose and that I couldn't bring anything to the team with what I had. I felt helpless and not important. That's how I felt at the end. The reaction came in swiftly. Chris G, that quote was translated from French and posted it on X. We heard from Kings fans, we heard from Canadians fans, and for the most part, nobody liked it. And I can tell you that most of the reaction, I can't, without editing heavily, I can't share with you here on a family podcast. They're not happy. Here's a couple of examples. Again, some from Habs fans, some from Kings fans. M. Suspartan 86 says, 0 goals, 5 assists in 30 games will do that. That is, make you feel like you had no purpose. Not Ken Holland said, his purpose was to play hockey and he got paid well for it. Not sure where the confusion is, Phil. If you felt helpless, it's probably because you stopped trying 2 years ago and the fan base turned on you. Matthias Hulven says, feeling helpless and unimportant on a yearly salary of $5.5 million? Poor him. How about just competing hard and playing hard for your teammates, especially when you wear a letter? Cryptoholic says, Deneau isn't a $5.5 million player, which is why Bergevin and the Habs didn't extend him. It's not that we didn't want to. It's that what he was asking for and what he contributes didn't align. He's a 3C, PK1, face-off specialist, and a shutdown forward. And it goes on and on and on. It's sad. And I think Phil, he's going to get it, or you know, somebody's going to sit down with him, probably Gallagher, and explain it to him that things have changed. He can't act like the entitled player, and that that humility and maturity is what's expected, as has been demonstrated by those first two stories. One more thing that I'll just mention. On a popular podcast this week, the host was very confused, and this, he's a smart guy. He should know what he's talking about, but it just thinks so highly of Phil Deneau that he couldn't understand how the move made any sense for the Kings. He said that Deneau and the quality of player he is should have delivered a roster player. And the only way that he can make sense of this deal is that Ken Holland turned down a whole pile of offers and was doing Deneau a favor. That's clearly delusionary. We know that, partly because of what Elliot Friedman had said. That there was a lot of bad feelings on both sides as Deneau ended his time. And we heard Ken Holland say, listen, he was making too much money. We needed to be scoring more. Phil wasn't providing any offense. He had been replaced on the defensive side. He wasn't getting any penalty kill time. We didn't need him. We had enough centers that were doing the job. We wanted to give them more opportunity, and we wanted to use that cap room to go out and add some offense. Made it quite clear that there wasn't a lot of buyers lining up, that the second round pick that they got from Canadians was very valuable to the Kings and perhaps better than they were expecting. Phil Deneau needs to start doing the kinds of things that he's good at, and providing some leadership, and that's through being mature and being a little bit humble.
And I think that he's going to need to accept what his role with the Montreal Canadiens is going to be this time around, because it's not going to be the same role that he had the last time he was here. And mm-hmm. the sooner that he understands that, the sooner that he accepts that, and the sooner that he gets a bit of an attitude adjustment, the better things will be for him. But the last thing Phil Deneau wants is for the Montreal fan base, who should be welcoming him with open arms, to turn on him because they don't like his attitude, because that would be disastrous for Phil Deneau.
That Elliot Friedman quote, let me just read it to you. Quote, I got to tell you, I think that exit between Philip Deneau and the Kings was not pretty. I think there were a lot of hard feelings on both sides. End quote. Jacob Fowler, will update our story on Jacob Fowler. He's, you know, we said he's updated the Canadiens' plans for the season. That's absolutely correct, because Sunday starter in Tampa, Jacob Fowler.
Good. Do we know who's backing him up yet?
We don't yet.
Okay. Better be hoping it's Jakub Dobish.
Yeah, and we don't know anything about the lines either, because there was Struble and Engstrom were rotating, Beck and Sammy Blais were rotating, so no clues yet on how the lines are going to turn out.
All right. Well, speaking of Jacob Fowler, he is going to be the focus of our Canadiens Connection question of the week. Has Fowler's early success changed how you feel about the Canadiens' goaltending plan this season? Rick just mentioned that how Fowler has performed in these first couple of weeks has made him question his own preferences for how the Canadiens should have handled Fowler or should be handling Fowler. Has his early success changed how you feel about how the Canadiens are going to map out their goaltending plan for the rest of the season? Let us know. And of course, we'll take your best answers and read them here on the show next week. You can text us at 585-3-ROCKET. That's 585-3-ROCKET. Drop us a comment on YouTube or on Spotify, or send us a reply or a DM on social media at Habs Connection on X, Facebook, or Instagram. We are going to take one last quick break here on the Canadiens Connection podcast. And when we come back, we are letting you have your say. We've got some great answers that you sent in for last week's Canadiens Connection question of the week, and we're going to read them to you right after this. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Canadiens Connection podcast on Rocket Sports Radio.
The holidays are heating up on Pick 6, DraftKings' newest fantasy pick'em game. Make your NBA picks for a shot to win big cash prizes this holiday season. Here's how it works. Just choose more or less on two or more player stats. The more accurate your picks, the bigger your payout. It's the kind of upside you'll only find on Pick 6, not those other pick'em sites. And it's available in most states, including Texas, California, Georgia, and more. Download the DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code THPN. New DraftKings customers can play just $5, get $50 in Pick 6 credits with code THPN. Ride the upside. In partnership with DraftKings Pick 6, the crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org in Connecticut. Must be 18 plus. Age and eligibility restrictions vary by jurisdiction. Pick 6 not available everywhere, including New York and Ontario. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Bonus awarded as non-withdrawable Pick 6 credits that expire in 14 days. Terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos. Limited time offer. Hey.
And welcome back to episode 380 of the Canadians Connection podcast here on Rocket Sports Radio. Hey, one last reminder, hit subscribe if you're not already subscribed to the podcast. If you are on YouTube or on another platform where you can leave a review or leave a like, we would love it if you are enjoying the show. If you would take a second just to do that, it really helps us out. And another way you can also help us out here on the show is just sharing this podcast. Whatever platform you're listening or watching on, just hit that share button and share this episode with your social media fans, friends, and followers. And it would greatly help us. We really appreciate it. We want to, you know, end 2025 really strong, because 2026 is even going to be better. Don't forget to get in your answers to this week's Canadians Connection question of the week. Has Jacob Fowler's early success changed how you feel about the Canadians' goaltending plan this season? Can't wait to hear what you have to say about that, because I'm going to bet it's made some of you question things. Last week, we asked you, where should Jeff Gorton and Kent Hughes look to upgrade the Canadians' defensive game next? In the forwards? In the actual defense? In the crease, or with their coaching? And we had a variety of answers, a little bit of a theme, but we'll let you figure out what that is. Rick, I'll let you start this one.
This one comes on YouTube from our dear friend at @CenterHeist7848. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all, he says. Great show again, Amy and Rocket. It's pretty straightforward now. It's on coaching, and I believe upgrades are needed in defense and goaltending coaches. We need huge upgrades there. After that, second line center. Have a great new year, Amy and Rocket. Now that we found our tandem in net, we need to let the marshmallow man go. He's done.
All right. Well, at P. Moran Fidelt says, Happy holidays, everyone. To answer this week's question, I would say in order to strengthen the defense for the Habs, they need to get some better goalie coaches as well as some defensive coaching. Gee, there seems to be a consensus.
Yeah.
The pieces are pretty much there player-wise, but coaching needs improvement. Also, Montembeau needs to get some more reps in Laval since he seems to still have issues. Either that or trade him off for some assets. So we've got two replies here, and we've got two people who say defensive coaching and goaltending coaching need to get better, and Montembeau needs to go somewhere else other than Montreal. Okay. At Frank Huber 9912 says, hey, Owen Beck had a hat trick. He had a goal disallowed after a coach's challenge. He had a good goal that was awarded to an on-ice teammate. And then he had a goal scored immediately after time has expired. So dang it, Owen Beck had himself a hat trick, if only.
Finally, he got a legit goal, or a goal that was counted.
That's right.
A beauty at that.
He says, defense, trade Monty. Then find a defense coach who can coach Marty. He's the one who needs it most. So again, it comes back to coaching and Montembeau as the things that fans are saying are the places that the Habs need to fix next for defense.
Great comments this week.
Wonderful comments this week. We've got three games on tap for you this coming week. Of course, Sunday, the Canadians are in Tampa Bay to take on the Lightning. That is a 5 o'clock Eastern time game, so supper time watching for you.
Jacob Fowler, as we've learned, starting in that one in his home state of Florida.
On Tuesday, December 30th, Montreal just heads just over, just a little bit down the highway in Florida to take on the Florida Panthers. That's a 7 o'clock game on Tuesday night. And then after New Year's, on New Year's Day, a New Year's Day game for Montreal, visiting the Carolina Hurricanes, 7 o'clock Eastern time on New Year's Day. Look out for that, and then we will be back next Saturday, January 3rd, for our next episode of the Canadians Connection podcast. Thanks so much for being here with us. We hope you enjoy the return of hockey after the Christmas holiday.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year.
We want to say Happy New Year to all of our Habs community. And we find ourselves, as we come to the end of the year, feeling very grateful. I'm grateful to my co-host, thank you, who's here every week. Thankful to our Rocket Sports team and how they contribute. Thankful to the Hockey Hot Stove, where our content appears. The Hockey Podcast Network, where who share our podcasts. And again, you, our listeners, the hockey community. We wouldn't be here without you. So thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much. Wishing you a very safe and happy new year. 2026 is going to be great. Start thinking positively about a great year ahead. And in the meantime, just look forward to another great episode of the Canadians Connection podcast next weekend, right here on Rocket Sports Radio.
Click subscribe so you never miss an episode of Canadians Connection. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Rocket Sports.